Your word is a lamp to my feet, a guide for my path, Lord. Lord, to direct us in our lives the way we should live, which brings honour and blessing to you and growth for us, and Lord, help to the people of whom we share our lives, Lord. We bless you for your word, and I pray, Lord, as we come again to the stories of so many, many centuries ago, Lord, we'll realise that people haven't changed that much, and you haven't changed at all. You're the same amazing God. I pray you'll bless us and help us, Lord, as we come back to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing our little journey through Genesis, we've got to the time of Jacob and Esau as brothers. They've grown up, and Dad's getting considerably older. And he says, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his oldest son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I'm old. I do not know the day of my death." Well, he could have said that when he was 3 years old. It's true, we don't know. He was feeling old that particular day. Yeah. But none of us know how long we've got, do we? No, we don't. But the interesting thing is, if you do the calculations on the ages of the individuals at that time, in fact, he's got another 43 years to go. He didn't know that, of course. He was feeling just old at that particular time. And his eyes are beginning to fade. And we're going to look at Isaac, and you'll see that his senses all let him down, except for one. And his eyes are letting him down now. He doesn't see quite as well as he used to. They didn't have glasses in those days and cataract operations. You'll be grateful for what we can have now, yeah? So dear old Isaac, he can't see very well. He can't even make out which of his sons is his sons, you know? That's going to be one of the key things in this story. So his eyes deceived him, first of all. So next, please. Now then, he says to his son Isaac, Isaac says to his son Esau, "Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, we've got a problem. Isaac's favourite son is Esau, and his affections for Esau get in the way, unfortunately, because although Isaac's favourite son is Esau, Isaac believes in God, and God made a promise. He made a promise. It was a prophecy when his wife Rebekah was expecting. Remember, the children jostled in her womb, and she sought the Lord, and the Lord gave her a prophecy that the older would serve the younger. And I'm certain she told it to Isaac. But it's been a long time, and you know what guys are like, they forget things. I'm not sure if that was the case, but his affection for Esau has overridden that, and that's one thing. And then the other is that Jacob had sold or bought the birthright as the head of the family from Esau after the hunting match that he'd had. He'd gone out, came back famished and tired, and he sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of soup. I'm sure Dad heard about that. That was not good. Yeah, but he did it. And now, I haven't read it to you, but in the previous chapter we also read that Esau had gone off and married two women, local women, that the family was told that they shouldn't marry. So he disobeyed Dad on that point and married these local girls. And in fact, he said the girls proved a bit of a pain to both Mum and to Isaac and to his wife Rebecca. So Esau has done his best to alienate himself, but Dad's affection for this boy is so strong that it overrides all of that. And he's done a blessing. And he says, "I want some tasty food. You know, the kind that you make. Go out hunting and prepare me some game food." And the idea being is that it's a calm, pleasant day. When you've had a nice meal, you feel better, do you? That's the idea, yeah? So it's for this solemn thing, it's a serious thing he's going to do. He's going to pass on the family blessing to the boy. That's the idea of what he's going to do. One of the interesting things about Esau is he's described as a hunter, a guy that likes the open outside. Well, there's nothing wrong with that in a sense, is there? But the symbolism could be considered that he's a guy that is restless. He's never sit still. He's always on the move. And that's a sign of an unbeliever, really. Hearts never at peace. No rest at all. God says there's no rest for the wicked, and they bring it on themselves. And Esau is that kind of, he doesn't believe really the promises. That's why he sold the birthright and all of that. So, that's what's going to happen. He sent him off to go hunting to get some food for him. Next slide, please. Now, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. She got her ear on the tent door. Doesn't miss a thing, Mrs. Isaac, does she? Ladies, beware of overhearing things, is all I can say. Anyway, she listened. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, now Jacob's Rebekah's favourite son, of course, yeah? Unfortunately, having favourites is not a good thing, but Rebekah's favourite son is Jacob. She said, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now she knows that God's promised the blessing to Jacob. She's heard that from God. So why doesn't she go around to Esau and say, hey Esau, you've got it wrong. You shouldn't be going to bless him. It's the other guy. I know we want to look after the other one. I know he's our boy, but God said the younger one gets the blessing. Why didn't she go? I don't know. That would have been the right way to go about it. It's always good with hindsight. You can always tell people what to do, what's right, afterwards, can't you? Well, she doesn't do that. But she should. Why didn't she trust what God did? I can give you, later on in the Bible, there are two instances where God overrules what others intend. Joseph, he was sold by his brothers, he was put into prison, and left to rot there for years, and he finishes up as Prime Minister of Egypt. Yeah, Joseph knew he was going to be the top guy, and he didn't go about things the wrong way to get there. He trusted God. God can make, well, if she'd have said to Isaac, and said to him, look, you know, I know he's a good lad and all that, and he likes something and all that, and you love him, but God said, what do you think would have happened? Some way or other, I can tell you this for certain, some way or other, God would have made it turn out right, without all the shenanigans going on. But anyway, shenanigans are coming, I'm afraid. So she didn't trust like Joseph did later on. And Balaam, you heard of Balaam? He was a false prophet. Balaam was hired by the king of Moab to curse the Israelites when they were going to enter the land, yeah? He was hired to curse them. And he was keen on cursing them because there was a lot of money involved and he was going to get a nice little handful out of it all. So he decided he'll go and curse them. But God told his donkey to tell him, you don't curse them. Now you tell them what you say what I say, God says. And Balaam has to do what God told him. So God can overrule even the intentions of the wicked. So why didn't she trust God? Well, I suspect she's one of these. I'm not blaming her in one sense, although I am. I'm as bad as she is. I can think of solutions as quick as anything. Yeah, and she's the kind of person, I'll have to do something to fix it. She's the fix-it girl. Well, she got a fine example in mother-in-law, you know. Remember Sarah? When God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and they wasted 10 years. Sarah thought, this is a bit of a long time, this will have to sort this out. And so she suggested that Abraham went with the maid. Yeah, and that completely botched everything up. But it was a fix-it job that they decided to do themselves. Please, brothers and sisters, don't help God out. Yeah? He doesn't need it. Yeah? Anyway, she's going to do it. She's going to help God out, she thinks. Second, please. Now therefore, my son, she's telling him, you like the guy? It's Jamie Oliver. Did you know that? Yes. Right. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. So she's going to do her culinary magic to turn goat into venison. And with a few spices and flavours, I suppose she got away with it. Yeah? Curry. Put some curry in. Can't taste anything else once the curry's in. I don't know what she did, but she knew how to make stuff that Isaac loved. She's been cooking food for a long time. She's a clever cook. Right, then, the next one, please. Yeah? But Rebecca said, you like this, I thought. But Rebecca said, or Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." And he's a smooth operator as well as a smooth skin, yeah? Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall be seen to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and bring them to me." So Jacob objects, "I can't do it, Mum." But why does he object? He objects because he's going to get found out. He doesn't object because it's wrong. He's cheating, he's lying. No, he's just objecting. If I get found out, I might get cursed for this one. That's his only objection. He's a schemer too, isn't he? He's a smooth man, yeah? And Jacob probably got hairier as the days go by. Some of us are more hairy than others, you know that. But Esau, very hairy. But she says, "The curse be on me." Well, it's going to be. Although there wasn't a curse pronounced, a curse came on him. Or came on her. Mm. Yeah? Do you know who it was? She never saw him again. Mm. When he was sent away, she lost her favourite boy. Mm. Yeah? Mm. See? That's what happens when you try helping God out. And she did. Anyway, she obeyed. Oh, he tells her to obey. I've called it disobedient obedience. He's obeying her rather than God. Don't do it, please. Yeah? Right, next one, please. So, he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. I suspect she was a jolly good cook, don't you? Mm-hmm. And God gives you gifts, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Do you use them for the Lord? If you use them for the Lord, that's alright. Mm-hmm. But if you're using them to manipulate, get your way and all that sort of stuff, bad. That's what she's doing. There she is. Right, listen please. Yes. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older brother, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Well, the picture I've got there is a bit overkill, really. They're the wrong colour for a start, and I don't think they were as hairy as that. Yeah? I can imagine Esau was hairy, but not that hairy. Goodness me. Wrong colour. What colour are the goats in the Middle East? The ones with the thin, smooth, silky skin. That fur. They're black. That's wrong colour. I wish they'd do their drawings properly, you know. Anyway.
His father was blind.
Sorry?
His father was blind, too.
His father was blind. Ah, but look how much there's on there. I mean, there's a seriously hairy skin. Yeah. Anyway, it's deception. That's what it is. He's putting on clothes and hairy skins on the exposed bits, you know, around the neck, there, on the arms bit, yeah. Just in case Esau has a... Not Esau, Isaac. Get the name back. In case Isaac has a little feel. Right, okay. Right then, next one, please. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Now then, if you'd heard that, Martin Luther said this, if I'd have heard that, I'd have dropped the ball and run. Yeah, but no, Jacob's in for this one. Why does he say, "Who are you, my son?" He can't see him, but he's just spoken.
Yeah.
Something's not quite right. Yeah, suspicion is what's going on. It's the voice.
Yeah.
The voice isn't Esau's voice. And you know, that's the only sense that doesn't let him down. His hearing is the one thing that works properly. The other senses, they get taken in, as you'll see. Right, next one. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done..." Mind you, you might have said something like, "I am Esau, your firstborn." You know, change the voice a bit, best you can. Right? "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. lies, and more lies. All of them. Look, we have listed them. He says, I am Esau. He's not. He's Jacob. I did as you told me. He's certainly not doing as you told him. Right? Here is my game. Well, it's not his game at all. It's his goat. But we won't say anything about that. Yeah. Right? And this is the worst of all. The Lord help me. Yeah. Actually, it's interesting. He doesn't say, the Lord, my God. Because I don't think God's his God, really, at the moment. Mm-hmm. Going to change, but, you know, the Lord, your God. So, lies, and more lies. Do you think God's going to bless this? It's not going to work, is it really? Right, next then, please. Right. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near me that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. That's coming. Yeah. So he says, he feels him. Sense of touch lets him down. Ah. Taken in by a goat. Right, yeah? Great, eh? So, sense of touch lets him down. Poor old Isaac. Next one, please. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered him, I am. And then he said, bring it near to me, so that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. So he says, are you really my son? He's not sure. That voice is just getting him a bit worried. Yeah. But he gives him the food, and it calms him down. You know, that's what the food was meant to do. Calm him down with a bit of food. So the sense of taste deceived him. He didn't recognize it was goat, did he? It was just like the game that he's used to yet. So his sense of taste let him down. But he enjoys the meal, and that sort of calms his fears, in a sense. Right, next one, please. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. So he's got the Esau's clothes on. That's Esau's clothes. Smells the open. What perfume did he have on? I don't know. Anyway, whatever it was. Yeah? He's taken in by his sense of smell. Every sense was deceived except the sound of hearing, the hearing sense. Yeah? And the reason I've just put this up, yeah? Satan deceives people. And he can use your senses. It might look good, might feel good, might taste good, but is deceiving her. Paul says, you know, that the false teachers who are coming around, he says, no wonder they get away with it, because Satan even himself disguises himself as an angel of light. Big promises, all good, but it's all a trick and a deception. And the interesting, how can we prevent being deceived? How do you stop getting taken in?
Right.
Well, there are several things. Pray about it. There are several things. One is, the Holy Spirit gives us a sense of discernment.
Yeah.
I think you call it that spiritual sense of hearing. You think, aha, something not quite right. That's what the Spirit was speaking to Isaac, but he wasn't listening. So, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. One translation says, my sheep recognize my voice. Yeah? And I know them and they follow me. So, if you want to be sure, get it from Jesus. Check it out against what Jesus says. And then you'll know you're on the right thing. Otherwise, you're being conned by the enemy, it would seem. Yeah. Right, next one, please. And this is the blessing. May God give you the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Curse be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. So this is Isaac pronouncing this blessing, sacred blessing, over Jacob. He doesn't know it, but it's Jacob. And what he's doing is, he's acting as a priest in the family and as a prophet of what is to be in the future. And so he blesses him with provision. The dew of heaven, dew of heaven. What do you need in a land where rain is not always plentiful?
It's water.
Yeah. Provide water, yeah. and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. So the land is full, so he's promised him provision. That's one of them, right? And then he says, let people serve you. He's in charge. God gives him authority over the family for the future. Yeah? And then he says, be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Well, he's only got one brother, hasn't he? But there's relatives. The relatives will honour them. And that will be fulfilled in later generations, as you'll see, in the time of David and so on. Yeah? But then he says the nations are going to be under this king. And it was a prophecy that God had given to Rebekah. The older would serve the younger. Got it the right way around, yeah? And so God is fulfilled. That's right, the older will serve the younger. So the younger's in charge. Yeah? And God is fulfilling the prophecy, even though it's a complete shambles about how they're going about it. See? God can overrule in spite of what people do. Right, then next please, yeah? As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. That was good timing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Are you sure it was good timing? I've got a feeling, I think God was in charge there, for the good of both of those boys. Yeah, because if they'd met up in the tent, there were one thing, Isaac wouldn't have blessed Jacob. He would have stopped the blessing. Yeah? And Esau would have killed his brother. So, you know, keep them apart for the moment. So God overrules in the timing of things, even in delays. I wonder if Esau was a fairly good hunter by now, I should imagine. Perhaps the game kept running away or something. Whatever it was, the timing was just right. He's out and the other one comes in. Right, next one please. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Now, how about that? He makes it quite clear, I am your son, I am your firstborn, I am Esau. That's three in one, he's got it, it's him. Yeah? Esau did everything right, didn't he? He did what he was told, he got the game, came in and all of that. But, this is the thing, the time for consequences has arrived. He had sold the birthright. It wasn't his to receive. So he's not going to get it. Sad. But that's the consequences. If you turn it away, you can't have it. That's how it goes. Right. So, next one please. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came. And I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. So Isaac starts trembling violently. That's what I call a rude awakening. Suddenly it dawns on him. What's happened? He knows it's Jacob, of course, yeah? Suddenly it dawns on him what's happened. Question. Why didn't he curse Jacob?
He blessed him.
He blessed him, but, I mean, he could say, you know, the rat. It was just going to done to me. Yeah?
He can't take the blessing back.
He can't take the blessing back, that's one of the things.
Yeah,
well, that's true. I'd like to suggest this. I think, all of a sudden, Isaac's conscience suddenly switched on. You know, I was doing wrong. I shouldn't have done what I did in terms of offering it to Esau. I should have offered it to Jacob. Gone about it the right way. I'm sure God convicted him and he shut his mouth up. Yeah? God stopped him cursing the boy. Yeah? He knew that he'd done the right thing for the wrong reasons. Yeah. Right. So he's convicted. Because as the man, Isaac, as the prophet of the family, he's spoken it, and it's not just words. It is now fixed.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way God's blessing fell. It's fixed. It's decided. That's how it's going to be. And so, I think you remember the prophecy. The moment he started shaking, I remember what Rebekah had been told. God said, the older will serve the younger. Yeah. And the blessing isn't just words, like I said. It's a promise. God has made the promise. Right, next one please. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me, even also me, O my father. I put that, what's the difference between tears of sorrow at loss and tears of repentance? You know, you can be sorry that it's not turned out. Let me just give you, I'll give you an example. What we do is we've caught some guy, he's been a thief, and he's been brought up before the judge. Yes? And he says, oh, I'm so sorry, my lord. What's he sorry about? He's sorry he got caught. He's not sorry about what he did. Yeah? Esau is sorry he got caught. He's been caught out, in that sense. What he promised and given away, it's now come home to roost. If you change the metaphors and all of that, yeah? You got the idea. He's sorry, but he's not sorry about what it was. And he's not willing to face up to the consequences of that, yeah? Now, next then, please. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he's taken away your blessing. That's the old man, yeah? Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob, grasper? That's basically the name meaning, yeah? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. Well, I put that little sign up. The search for someone to blame is always successful. It's always somebody else, of course. That's the way it works, yeah? He doesn't accept how it is. He won't accept that. And that's going to be the problem for him. Then, he says, it's all Jacob's fault. He's cheated me twice. He hadn't cheated him twice. Cheated him once. The first time he did it. Yeah? Isn't it interesting how we can blame everybody for everything else and nothing about us? Well, as it goes. Yeah? Next one, please. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I've made him lord over you and all his brothers, and I've given to him for servants, and with wine and grain and wine, and I've sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? He says, it's done now, can't change that. I've blessed him with all that's going, so there's nothing left. Next then, please. Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Is that all there is? One blessing? Bless me, even me also, O my father. Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Yeah, he's lost it. There's a comment about him in the letter to the Hebrews. It says, see that no one is unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Unholy, what it means is that God wasn't part of his life. God, what God wanted for him and the future and all that, just wasn't in the way it counted, you know. He's what we could call the modern man or woman, yeah. It's the here and now. What I can feel and touch and see, that's what counts. Yeah, tomorrow, forget it. Future, God, nah, we don't do God. Yeah, that's Esau in his heart. I know, and in many ways he's a likeable lad. I'm not knocking him as a person, yeah? But heart and hearts, when it's really exposed, no room for God. That's his problem. And as a result of that, he despised the birthright. What's it to me? And as a result, you find out the consequences are not very good. Now, next then, please. Then Isaac his father answered him and said, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven and I. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Well, in the letters of the Hebrews, it says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Well, yeah, we know the blessings on Jacob, but are these blessings on Esau? Well, ultimately, yes, because God's going to work for Esau in some ways anyway, individuals and so on. Yeah. But he says, behold, he uses the same phrase, if you read the Hebrew, it says the same phrase as he spoke about the blessing, from the dew of heaven, from the wine and the oil and so on. It's the same preposition, if you know structures, yeah? But it means a different thing in this use. He's not going to bless him with the wine and the oil. He's going to be blessed from it, away from it, is how it's understood, yeah? And so what he's saying is, Esau is going to be living in a place where you don't get the dew of heaven and you don't get all of those blessings. It's not a fertile area. I've got you a picture of it. It's the Kingdom of Eden, which is the south of the Dead Sea. It's the Negev and that area. That's where Edomites started to go and live eventually and spent their times there. And how do they make a living? They live by the sword. Well, hunters, I suppose, but any passerby that has a few bit bob to spare, they'll relieve them of that as well, I suppose. This is what became the future for the Edomites, yeah? And he says, when you grow restless, you'll break his yoke from off your neck. As I said, in the time of King David, David ruled over all that area, over Edom and everything else. Eventually, the Edomites broke free and had their own civilization for quite a while subsequent to that. So that's the prophecy that's there, yeah? Okay, next one, please. Lessons, quick lessons out of these things, yes? Right. Well, nobody comes out well in this account, do they? They're all going to suffer one way or another. Isaac let emotion rule over his faith. More grace. That's hard, you know. I'm not saying it's easy, you know, when members of your family, people you love and care about, are doing the wrong things. You've got to let God rule your mind, not your heart rule your life, yeah? And so, more grace needed. We need God's help when it comes to those type of situations. You can't let your feelings run riot, because feelings come and go. Did you know that? They do, yeah. Next one, please, yeah? Next one. Rebecca lost her favourite son, and they never have seen him again. This is a quote from Niccolo Machiavelli. Have you heard of Machiavellian tricks? Yeah. Machiavelli? No. Education for you. Machiavelli. Middle Ages. In Italy. Machiavelli was a mean guy. And he just all the dirty tricks he could to get to the top of the pile. Trampled on anybody. And his motto was, the end justifies the means. If I get to the top, who cares how I get there? That's Machiavelli for you. Machiavelli's wrong. Because Machiavelli didn't realise that he might have got to the top of the pile, but he's got to meet the one who's above him one day. And I remember dear Paul Pilly in India once saying, a man who'd been a ruthless businessman, I believe, yes, had become a believer in Jesus. He says, you know, I spent all my life climbing up the ladder, trampling on other people to get to the top, only to realise it was leaning on the wrong wall.
Yeah.
Machiavelli found out it's on the wrong wall. And Rebecca found out it's on the wrong wall. You don't do it your way and hope to get away with it. It don't work. Right, next one, please. Esau finally sees the value of what he sold. Yeah? But it was too late. And there's a question for you, dear friends. You know, what do you think is important? Yeah? What do you think is important? Do you know, I had to go up in the loft this week to put the Christmas stuff away till next year. Do you know that loft's full of junk? I haven't seen the light of day in years. Yeah? Is it doing us any good? Well, the only good it's doing is insulating the loft. Yeah. That's about it, yeah? What do we value, dear friends? Yeah? Well, the danger is you value it when you've lost it. Don't do that, please. Ask God to help you appreciate the things that he gives us, eh? Next one, please. Jacob will be sent away on a hard learning experience. Jacob doesn't win. He gets the blessing, because that's what God was going to do, yes? Jacob gets the blessing, but he's going to be sent away from his mummy, who he loves, and mummy loves him, you know. Going to be sent away from all that's familiar. He likes the home environment. You know, his favourite chair. He's going to lose all of that, sent off packing to visit Uncle Laban for a short time, Mother said. Short time turns into 20 years.
Oh, 20 years, that's right. 20 years.
And he's going to learn from Uncle Laban, it doesn't pay to cheat. Yeah. If Jacob thought he was a grasper, Uncle Laban can show you the professional. Yeah? Jacob is going to find out. And what I say, you reap what you sow. Jacob's an example of that. Yeah? The way he went about it, he's going to find out it's very nice to dish it out, but it's not very nice when it's dished to you. Yeah, well, makes you think then, doesn't it? Next one, please. Right. This is a strange bit, and I just want to conclude with this. The attempt to foil God's plan will end in failure. We know that, don't we? Yeah? Yeah? But there's an interesting parallel in this story. And I quote a guy called A.W. Pink. It was in one of his commentaries. It's not original to him. It's by one of the very early church fathers, a guy called Ambrose, who came up with this thought. And it's not one you'd come across and think about, really, as you read the story. But he says this: Jacob found acceptance with his father and received his blessing because he sheltered behind the name of his firstborn beloved son and was clothed with the garments which diffused to Isaac an excellent odour. What's he saying? What's the parallel? The parallel is this: for us to be accepted by Father and to receive his blessing, we have to come dressed in the garments of his beloved son. Only we don't come with deception. We come honestly, and we admit we're not worthy of the blessing, we don't deserve the blessing. In fact, we forfeited the blessing. We come seeking God's forgiveness and his grace. And the amazing, as I say, it's just a parallel. I don't think it's really more than that. But isn't that an interesting picture in that? Yeah? God works in this guy's life through a substitute. And God works blessing in your life through a substitute. His name is Jesus. You can't come to God on your own. Yeah? You can't. Your sin is the barrier. You can only come disguised, as it were, in the righteousness of Jesus. But the amazing thing is that the righteousness of Jesus doesn't just cover you. You know what else it does? It starts seeping in. And it begins to change you. Little by little. You're forgiven, you're accepted, you look absolutely acceptable, and you are in Jesus. But God, by his Spirit, is beginning those changes in you to make you like Jesus. And that's the fragrance that Isaac smelled. The scent of my son. This is my beloved son, Father said about Jesus. And he said that about you. If you're clothed in Jesus, you're my beloved child also. And I just want to read to you a couple of verses out of Galatians. And I think that sums it up rather nicely. It's fine, Galatians that is now. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. That's what you didn't get. And what was the reference? You've just lost my numbers. Galatians 3 and 27 29. Okay, well, I'll start from verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Who then? Through faith in Jesus, you're in the family. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Got him on? Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ. Is that interesting? As far as God sees you, yeah, it doesn't matter what your background is. Jewish, Greek means Gentile. Yeah? Right? Slave, so there's religious backgrounds, there's social backgrounds, slave or not free, freeman, yeah? Yeah? How about male and female? Doesn't matter. Do you know, God accepts women. Isn't that amazing? You know? But I want to tell you this, God accepts men as well.
Amen.
That's a good one for these. Amen, yes, we'll go for that. Yeah? What I'm trying to say though, and this is really interesting, is when we're clothed in Jesus, we're accepted as we are. But because there's neither male nor female, doesn't mean to say you stop being a man or a woman. When you get to heaven, you're going to be a woman or a man, depending on how God made you down here. Right? No changes. Yeah, that's how it's done. Yeah? Yeah? But those things that God's built into us don't count in the terms of how we're accepted before God. It doesn't matter what your social status is. And so when we get to the glory, are we going to be still slaves and free? No, we're all free then. Yeah? Those things are temporary. But what God's made us will be there. But I've got news for you. And this is my last little bit. You'll still be the person that you are, but you won't be the person that you are. Because Good, she says. You won't have the aches, the creaks, the groans, and all of that. That's one. Good riddance to that. You have a new body. But the person that you are in terms of your character and qualities, yes, some of those are going to be changed as well. There's another verse in Hebrews. It says, we've come to Mount Zion, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It says, to the spirits of, do you know what the bit is? The spirits of righteous men made perfect. They were righteous. They were right with God. Men and women who've accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, they're right with God. While they were down here, they were right with God. But when they get there, they're still righteous, but now they're made perfect. You know that rotten old temper you've got. Yeah, all that impatience that you have, all the grouch, all of that, God has disappeared. Some of us won't be recognising you, brother.
I'm hoping
we're all improving on the way now, right? Yeah. So, just back to Isaac and the boys, God's will was done. But you don't have to mess up and do stupid things to get God's will. Trust him! He knows what he's doing. He can work it out. Jacob finds that out later on. In fact, later on, we'll come to it in Genesis. When it comes to blessing Joseph's boys. You know Joseph's boys? Yeah, Manasseh and Ephraim. Two boys. And the future that God had mapped out for them was that Ephraim was going to have a bigger tribe than Manasseh. Yeah? So Ephraim was going to be top dog, if you use that phrase, and Manasseh was going to be second. But Ephraim was younger. So what does Jacob do when he comes to blessing the boys? Right hand on the one to be blessed, and left hand on the one that gets the leftovers. What does Jacob do? And Joseph says, you got the wrong lad, Dad. Oh, no, so. He'd learned, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And he did it the right way. Well, there's room for us all, eh? Hope for us all. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, there's sad things. People's lives messed up. Feelings hurt. Lord, deeper wounds created. All because lies and going about things the wrong way. Help us, Lord. Help us not to be taken in by our senses. The things that look good, sound good, feel good. Lord, maybe by your word that we begin to understand what's right and what's wrong about things. And help us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, we can be clothed in your righteousness, your perfection, that covers up all our faults. We bless you, Lord. We're accepted with the Father through Jesus. So, Lord, help us to live it out. And, Lord, to practice what we believe. In Jesus' name. Amen.